We're holding Amnon Hay Omid Bey's the second line from the bottom. We talked about yesterday about the sides, and we've talked about yesterday about the sides and the sides of the sides of the Azara in terms of where we can stress Kodshim Kalin. We said we have three psukim that say that that Shlomim in particular have to be shechted Pesach Oyomoyed, and we said, one said Pesach Oyomoyed, the other two said Lifnei Oyomoyed, and we discussed what all that means. We said according to the Chachamim, one of them comes to tell us that the door has to be open, as we learned yesterday, it can't be closed. A second one teaches us that you could do it anywhere in the width of the Azara, doesn't have to be directly in front of the door. And the third one told us that you can't shech them in Sidei Tzadin, which means the sides of the sides, which means, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, rooms or chambers that are in the Azara or that are open into the Azara. And then we had Rabbi Eliezer learning differently and saying that one of those psukim is telling us that you're allowed to shech Kodshim Kalim in the north, which otherwise we would have thought that maybe the north is reserved only for Kodshe Kodshin. Okay, so now let's discuss more about this point of Sidei Tzadin, about rooms and chambers and buildings inside the Azara, or opening out into the Azara, and what the din of them is as far as different dinim of the Azara. Keep in mind you have several different dinim that are relevant to the Azara. It's the place where Tmeim of all kinds are excluded from. As we talked about yesterday, you have the three zones where different kinds of Tmeim are excluded from them, but everybody is excluded, all Tmeim, and even Mechusrei Kapara, who have the least remaining degree of Tumah, are also to be anywhere in the Azara. We were talking about Shechting Kodshim Kalim anywhere in the Azara, and then there's eating Kodshe Kodshim, which is also anywhere in the Azara. So we're going to talk about as far as these buildings and rooms and things like that in terms of those three dinim. So the Gemara starts off, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Chayavin Mishum Tumah, a person is going to be Chayav, a korban, and now we learned in Shavuos that a person is Chayav, a korban, Olav Yerid, if he entered the Bais Mikdash when he was Tumah, and we have the specifics that we learned over there, that there has to be Yediyah B'Tchila, the Yediyah B'Soif, the Hel of Entayim, that he knew he was Tumah, and then he forgot, and then entered, and then he remembered afterwards, etc., the whole thing over there. But anyway, you have the case where a person is Chayav to bring a korban, Olav Yerid. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says he's going to be chayev that, or for that matter, koris b'mezid, on mishum is mishum tumah, because on the grounds of tumah, only ela al orech meo shmonim b'sheva al roich of meo shloshim b'chamish. Only if he enters the area of the Azara itself, which is 187 amos long and 135 amos wide. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, as opposed to if you have chambers that are built outside of that footprint, outside of that rectangle, even if their doors open into the Azara, and they have they don't have the kedusha of the Azara, and therefore a person is not chayav koris or korban for entering into it. Rashi points out because those rooms were not given the full kedusha of the Azara. We also learned there in Shavuos about the whole ceremony that they have to do. They are able to extend the Azara. The Azara is not necessarily limited throughout history to that area of 187 by 135. It could be made larger, but then they have this whole ceremony that they did involving songs from Tilim and a korban mincha and the Urim B'Tumim and so on and so forth. And then the area that they extend that will actually become the full kedusha of the Azara. But here Rashi points out the rooms and the buildings that we're talking about were not given that kedusha. So even though they open into that area of 187 by 135, nevertheless they don't have the kedusha of the Azara insofar as that a person would be chayav kores or a korban for entering into it when he's tamei. Kores b'mezid and a kores b'mezid or a korban b'shoyin. And the Gemara continues. Toni Tana Kameid Rav Nachman, a Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rav Nachman. Kol Azara Hoisa Chufei Zayin Al Roisa Chuf Lamed Hei. The entire Azara was 187 by 135. The Mishnah in Midas actually says this. So why he's quoting it as a Braisa? Okay, sometimes you have the Gemara will quote something as a Braisa even though it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Midas explains over there the exact details of how all that space was used up from east to west. You have the 187 is taken up with. You have 11 amos for the Yisraelim, 11 amos for the Kohenim, 32 for the Mizbeach, another 22 from there until the door of the Ulam, 100 for the length of the Heichel, and 11 Amos behind the Heichel that we talked about yesterday, where there was a, we said there was a doorway over there also, or we said a lul, which is more like a window, to be able to, where in a pinch you could get in and out over there, but mainly the point of it was to make that that area is still considered in front of Pesach or Moed, in front of the doorway, so that you could shecht kodesh, so you could shecht kodesh and kalim over there. So that's the 187. As far as the 135 width, basically it's, you have about half of it is taken up by the Mizbeach on the ramp, which was 62 amos. Then you have, there's the area for the rings where they would put the animal's neck or legs in when they shechted the carbon. You have the tables and the, you have the tables and the pillars with books over there that they would use for skinning and cutting up the animals and washing them and all of that. And then you have, space on either side of them between the walls. Makes up a total of 135. So a Tana taught in front of Rav Nachman of Braisa, summarizing this point that the entire Azara was 185. From north to, from east to west by 135 from north to south. Omalei, said Rav Nachman, told him, talk me, Omalei Abba, my father told me that the point of mentioning those numbers is Kigoin Zeh, that it's only in that area, only in that footprint of 187 by 135, Kohenim Nichnosan L'Sham Ba'ochem Sham Kodshe Kodshim, that the Kohenim, when they can go in there and eat Kodshe Kodshim, which have to be eaten in the Azara, so they can eat anywhere within that rectangle, and V'Shotim Sham Kodshim Kalim, and also that they can Shecht Kodshim Kalim over there, V'Chayovim Mishom Tuma, and that a person would be Chayav for, and that person would be Chayav if he goes in there when he's Tomei, Chayav Koris, or Korban, as the case may be. So sort of Nachman says that don't just think that this braisa that you're quoting with the numbers is just to tell us the size of the Azara. That has implications. Bahalocha, it means, in other words, that entire area is considered to have the full kedusha of the Azara. So the Gemara says, well, what are we excluding by that? By that braisa and by Shmuel's statement that a person is chayav only for tuma, only for going into that area, as opposed to what? Do you mean, as opposed to, in other words, if a person were to go into the thickness of the windows, the walls of the Bais Hamikdash were thick, so therefore you would have windows in them, and the space in the window could be a couple of amas thick. Do we mean, as opposed to that, in other words, the 187 by 135 would be the inner space of the Azara, then you'd have outside that the wall, and you'd be, if let's say a person sat in that window, or Dlossos, or the doors, the doorways over there, V'Oviachoyma, or the thickness of the wall, if you were to stand on top of the wall, and you would say that those do not have the Kedusha of the Azara. No, Tanena, because we learn in the Mishnah, Pachalonis, V'Oviachoyma, Kilifnim, the windows and the thickness of the wall, and that also includes the doorways that are in the wall, Kilifnim, they're considered like inside. Now the Mishnah there is talking about as far as the city of Yerushalayim. Now, for example, when it comes to talked about over there and talking about eating the Korban Pesach, you can eat the Korban Pesach, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, anywhere in Yerushalayim. So therefore, so the point is you could also eat it within the thicknesses of the windows or of the doorways or on top of, you could sit on top of the wall and eat it over there. So they have the Kedusha like inside. So then we would assume the same thing applies also to the Azara, that the thickness of the walls and other things like that also have the kedusha of the Azara. So now they might not be a kosher place to shecht korbanos, because again, it's not lifnei or moed, but at least it should have the kedusha of the Azara, as far as that a person goes in there, he's tomei, and that if he's tomei, then he's chayiv kores or a korban, or that they can eat kodshe kodshim over there. Why not? On the face of it, it should be like the inside. To be exact, the Gemara there in Pesachim explains that actually what it is they made only part of the thickness of the wall to have the kedusha of the Azara. What they did is they said that from the outer edge of the door is considered to be inside, with the exception of Shaul Nikonor, they said, because the Mitzrayim have to stand over there and they have to have the blood of their korban applied to their ear, thumb, and toe, and therefore you can't have that. But other than that, the other doorways and the other thicknesses of the walls were all made holy with the Kedusha of the Azara. So that's more than the 187 by the 135. So, the Elul Ma'uti L'Shochus, do you mean as opposed to the chambers that were built in and around the Azara? So you're going to say, well, let's consider where exactly are they located. V'i bnuyas v'chol, if they're located out, if the actual location of the lishka, of the chamber, is outside that area, outside of that rectangle of the azara, upsuchas v'chodesh, but their openings, their doorways are into the azara, then v'atnan, we learn in the Mishnah, tochen kodesh, that the inside of those lishkas is considered holy. So why shouldn't a person be chai if he goes into there when he's tomei, and why shouldn't you be able to eat kodshim there, etc.? So the Gemara says midrabanan. It doesn't mean midaraisa they have that kusha. Midrabanan, the chacham said don't go in there when you're tomei, but the chachamim don't have the ability to say that if midaraisa you can't eat kodshim there, or you can't shecht kodshim kalim there, that you should be allowed to, and in fact the Gemara is answering that you're not allowed to. So there would be kodesh, because again, kodesh is not going to apply to something which is only midrabanan. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Daraisa loy. So you're telling me these places do not have the kedusha of the Azara on a Daraisa level. V'hatanya, we learn in another Braisa, l'shochas bnuyas v'chol upsuchas v'kodesh, chambers that are built in the chol area outside the Azara proper, but they're open into the kodesh, like we just described. Minayin shak poinim and snosim l'sham. How do we know that the poinim can enter there v'ochlin sham kodshe kodshim v'shiore mincha, and they can eat kodshe kodshim, so they're pieces of the chatas and osham, etc., and the leftovers of the mincha, which is also kodshim. How do we know that in fact they can do that? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Bahatsar Oyel Moyed Yechluha. The Pasuk says that they should eat it in the courtyard of the Oyel Moyed. Now, previously it had also said that they should eat it B'mokim Kodesh, which we discussed yesterday. B'mokim Kodesh means inside the Azara. So you have it says that they eat the B'mokim Kodesh, and it also says, it says, Bahatsar Oyel Moyed Yechluha. So that's a ribui. HaTorah Ribsa Chatseres Harbe Eitza Achila Achas. The Torah, in effect, is giving us a ribui that there are many Chatseres, many courtyards where you can do one eating. So that comes to include these rooms that you can eat kodesh kodeshim over there. Well, therefore, so it can't be that it's only d'rabbanan, because then how could we allow that? Here we're saying that you can eat kodesh kodeshim over there. Again, the d'rabbanan would be able to say that if you're tomei, you shouldn't go into them, but they don't have the ability to override the din d'oraisa that if they're not kosher to eat kodesh kodeshim, that they should allow it because they give it the kedusha of the azara. So the obvious implication is that it must be d'oraisa, otherwise it's impossible to eat kodesh kodeshim in there. So you see that even on a daraisa level, they're considered to have the kedusha of the azara. So again, it comes out then that the area where a person is chay of a korban or kores for entering their betuma is not only the rectangle of 187 by 135, it can also include areas outside of that. If areas outside of that, as long as those rooms open into the kodesh. So the answer is Omar Rabbal Achila Shiny. It's different when it comes to eating. Even if these places do not have the full kedusha of the azara, as far as tumah, as far as a korban or kores, they can still have. And maybe it's only midrabanan. Maybe though the Torah is marbe them only for eating, only because of this ribui that we just said, but not necessarily as far as the other things. But the Gemara says, Avol inyan tumah loy. So you're telling me then that in that case, that these rooms would not have the status of the Azara as far as tumah on a Daraisa level. V'hatanya, the Braisa continues, L'shochas abnuyas, the Braisa says in fuller, or a different Braisa says, L'shochas abnuyas v'chol upsuchas v'chodesh, chambers that are built in the chol area and open up into the kodesh, koyanim nechnosim l'sham v'osam sham kodshim kodshim, the koyanim can go in there and eat kodshim kodshim, however, v'ein shochim sham kodshim kalim, however, they cannot shecht kodshim kalim in there, because that would be what we learned yesterday is called sidei tzadin, the sides of the sides. So they're possible for Shecht and Kodesh and Kalim. Shitim Kovetzis points out another reason, that it would be because they don't have, because as we said before, they don't have the full Kedusha of the Azara, because they weren't made officially part of the Azara with all the whole ceremony that we mentioned before. However, a person is chayav because of going in there when he's tomei. So you see, that's also Midrash Raisa, to go into them when he's tomei, not just Midrash Banan. So the Gemara answer is Lav Amet Ein Shechtim. Didn't we just say in the Braisa that you can't shecht their kodshim kalim? The Braisa had mentioned three dinim. You could eat kodshim, but you can't shecht kodshim kalim, but you are chayav mishum tumah. Well, you have the second thing is Ein Shechtim, that you can't shecht kodshim kalim over there, meaning that they don't have the full kedusha of the Azara. Well, then fine. Toni Nami Ein Chayovin. So then correct the Braisa, the third statement of the Braisa, and say that also a person is not chayav for going in there b'tumah. Because, in fact, so far we'd say, like before, that the issue of going there between is only the Daraisa and the Pasuk that was quoted before would be an Asnachta, and therefore, so that would be the answer then. So far, that would be the answer, that in fact, you would be on a Daraisa level, a Tomei person would be able to go in there, and therefore, on a Daraisa level, it's not part of the Azara at all, as far as any of the three dinim that we said, but Medirabanan, a Tomei person shouldn't go in there. However, the Gemara says, Bishlema ain't Shoshdim. No, because it's one thing to say that you can't shaft over there is because Be'ina Kenegan HaPesach, because like we said before, Veleka, because like we said before, it has to be in front of the door, Lefnei Oyo Moed, and here you don't have it inside these chambers because you're not direct, because you're not in front of the door, because you have the walls of the chamber blocking you. Ela ain't Chayov and Amai. Why indeed should we assume that a person is not Chayav for Tumah for going in there? If we're saying that you can eat Kodshe Kodshim over there, why indeed should we not assume that you can also, fine, Shechting is a separate thing, but why should we assume that a person is not Chayav for going in there with Tumah? Amai, why should that be? Why Taka should we distinguish and say you can eat Kodshe Kodshim over there, but a person is not Chayav Daraisa for going there when he's talking? So the Gemara says, well, Vili Tai Meich, well, according to your Svara, so you're agreeing that we can't Shecht Kodshe Kodshim over there, and you don't have a problem with that, because after all, you're saying the walls are blocking it, and therefore it's not directly in front of the door of the Oyo Moed. But after all, what do you mean, Ein Shechtin? What do you mean that it's a blanket statement, you can't Shecht Kodshim column over there? Mila Yaskin and the Ikka Shchita Kneged HaPesach, can't we be talking very well that you're talking about that the Shchita is being done in front of the doorway? Say, for example, so we talked about yesterday, so Rashi mentioned, let's say, we learned yesterday that you have the entrances in the Beis HaChalifos. We talked about you have the ring-like extensions of the Heichel. According to Rashi, they run the full length of the Heichel. According to Tosfos, they're only on the eastern side of it, on the north and the south. In any case, we learned yesterday that there were pishpishin, that there were small doors built into the corners of those, so that the back half of the Azara would be a kosher place to shecht kodshim kalim, so it can be considered in front of the door. Well, very well, if you have a chamber there, and the Mishnah describes in the Septa Midas that you have, there were rooms built on the north and the south sides of the Azara for various purposes. You have the Lushkas HaGozis, you have the chamber where the Kohen Gadol would stay for a week before Yom Kippur. You have a chamber where they kept the salt, etc., etc. You have a number of the shochas that are listed over there. So those would all be in front of one or the other of those doors in the Beis HaChalifos. And let's say, for example, you could be shechting in a part of the room where the door is open and you can see towards those doorways. So there's nothing blocking between you and there. And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that you can't shecht in there. So why? So obviously we have to be talking about Mila Skin and Ika Shita Kenegra Pesach. We have to be talking about where other things being equal. It is in fact Shita in front of the doorway, in the sense that you do actually have those little doorways, the pishpishin, that were built into the Beis HaChalifos, and this lishka that you want to shecht the korban inside it is in fact directly in front of one of those, and you actually have the doors open, and where you're standing inside the lishka, you can look through and you can see that door from the Beis HaChalifos, the small door, and nevertheless, the Braisa is saying it's possible, and it has to be, if you didn't have that, if it wasn't directly in front of the door, then why would the Braisa have to be telling us it's possible? That's a general, we learned before, that any place you're going to shecht kodshim kalim has to be in front of some doorway of the Heichel. Nevertheless, the implication is even though the shchita is in front of the doorway, nevertheless, Tony ain't shchitin. Nevertheless, the Braisa is saying you can't shecht kodshim kalim over there, not because it's not lifnei oyo moed, but mishum de kaddish, because it doesn't have the full kedusha of the azara. Tony nami ain't chayavin. Therefore, there's a very good reason for the Braisa. Therefore, there's a very good reason for us to correct the wording of the Braisa and say that a person is not, in fact, chayav for going in there when he's tomei, because they don't have the kedusha of the azara, because, as we said before, they didn't give the whole ceremony to make them officially part of the azara. And therefore, so once we correct the braisa, then, in fact, it fits exactly with what Shmuel and Rav Nachman's braisa are saying, which is that only a person is chayav for tumah only in the 187 by 135, not including these chambers, even though they open up into the Azara. Nevertheless, they don't have the Kedusha of the Azara as far as Tumah and as far as Sheft and Kodesh and Kavan in there, even if otherwise you have, even if you can see straight through to one of the doors of the Heichal from there. But as far as eating Kodesh, Kodesh is something else, because they had a special ribui in the Pasuk from Bahasar or Amori Yichlu. Okay. However, the Gemara says, you're telling me that as far as eating kodshe kodshim, you don't need to be in front of the doorway, and therefore that it's fine to eat in these lashachas even if the door is closed or even if it's open and doesn't happen to be in front of one of the doorways of the heichal. Bahatanya, the Brice that we quoted before said, Rav Yosef Yehudah, Shnei Pishpishin Hoyu Beis HaChalifas. We said that there were two little doors in the Beis HaChalifas, in those extensions of the Heichel, the Goivan Shmoina, where they were 8 amas tall. So we discussed in the Gemara, does that mean that there was something 8 amas tall in front of them to privacy? And he said, no, the actual doorways were 8 amas tall. In order to make the entire Azara kosher for eating kosher kodshim and for shechting kodshim kalim, because in other words, wherever you are in the Azara, you're always going to be within a line of sight of one of these doorways. So you see, therefore, that kosher kodshim also has to be lifnei oramayim. And yet the Braisa that we just quoted, and once we analyzed it, said that it does not need to, that it does not need to be in front of Oyo Moyed. It's fine for it to be in one of those side rooms. Amar Rabina smini kan achila. So Rabina says, you're right, you have to delete from that Braisa of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you have to delete the part about eating, because in fact, you don't need those doorways in the Beis HaChalifas in order to make the whole Azara kosher for eating kodshim kodshim. It would be kosher regardless, as long as it's within that space of 187 by 135, you don't need it to be in front of a doorway. Only for shechting kodshim kalim do you need it to be in front of a doorway. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you had the doorways for that. So, in other words, we're correcting the Braisa and saying it's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of having the doorways in order to be able to eat, in order to sheft kodshim kalim and eat kodshim kodshim, but only in order to sheft kodshim, only in order to sheft kodshim kalim to eat kodshim kodshim. It doesn't matter whether those doorways are there or not, and whether they're open or not. So now on the face of it, Ravina is coming to correct the Braisa, although there are a couple of Mephoshim who explain that maybe not, that the Braisa is saying that it makes the whole Azara kosher for Shchitas Kodshim Kalim, because even without that, it was kosher for Achas, for eating Kodshim Kodshim, and like, so therefore they made these doorways in order to make it more consistent than any place where you can eat Kodshim Kodshim Kodshim, you can also Shech Kodshim Kalim. So then there's further discussion, maybe when we discussed in the Gemara yesterday about that, you know, there was a doorway or a window behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that you could keep Kodesh and Shecht Kodesh and Kalim over there. Maybe Rav, who said that, would actually hold like the wording of the Braisa, like the original wording of the Braisa, that he actually needed in order to eat Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. So maybe he's disagreeing with Shmuel on that point. Okay. So the Gemara says, what do you mean the eating doesn't have to be in Lefnei or Amorid? V'haksiv, we find that Moshe says to Aaron and his sons during the Shiva Simei Miluim, he says, Bashlus Abasa Pesach or Amorid, cook the meat of the Korbanos, the ones that you're going to be eating in front of the or Amorid, the Shom Tofu Oisai, and there you should eat it. So you see that eating also has to be Pesach or Amorid, so therefore it should be possible to eat in those Lashachas, and so on and so forth. And the answer is Kodshe Shah Shiny. It's different when it's a temporary, when it's a one-time korban. The miluim are a one-time thing. So then it's Zeris HaKosov that they should eat it in front of the Oyo Moyed, meaning that they can't eat it in any side room or anything like that. But in future generations, you have the ribui from the Hasar Oyo Moyed Yefloa that you can eat it in these side rooms as well. Tosfos points out that the Pasuk also says over there, Moshe tells them that you should not leave the door of the Oyo Moyed for 7 days in the United States, 7 full days in the Kloyim, in the Chotzer of the Mishkan. So therefore, so because of that, you could say the Korbanos also had to have to be eaten in that Chotzer and not in any outbuildings or out tents or things like that. But that doesn't mean in future generations where the Kohenim don't have to constantly stay 24/7 in the Beis Mikdash, then they don't have to necessarily eat in the rectangle of the Azorah either. So, Okay, so that's that then. So we've established that yes, when it comes to these three, so when it comes to these three dinim of again of tumah, when a person enters the azara when he's tameh, what the consequences are when he went as far as shechting kodshim kalim and as far as eating kodshim kodshim, all three of those apply anywhere in the azara. In addition, we have a special ribui from a pasuk that when it comes to eating kodshim kodshim, that they can also eat it in areas, in buildings, in rooms that are physically located outside of that, but are open into the azara. They can eat the kodshim kodshim there. They still can't eat kodshim kalim over there, and we're still saying that a person is not necessarily chayav kores or chatas for going into those rooms. That may only be dirabanan. As far as within the thickness of the walls, in the windows or in the doorways or whatever, that would actually have the full kedusha of the azara, and therefore a person would be chayav kares or chatas for coming into those places, and you would be able to eat the kodshim kodshim over there. Sheft and kodshim kalim, not necessarily still, because we're going to learn in the next parak, sheft and kodshim kodshim, sheft and korbanos has to be done on the floor. So therefore you still couldn't do it on top of those roofs or walls or whatever. That's a different point. Okay. New topic. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avodini, minayim l'dam shem nifsal b'shviyas hacham. How do we know that blood of korbanos that was not yet sprinkled becomes possible at shviyas hacham? So in other words, like this, you're supposed to sprinkle the blood on the day that the korban was shechted. Now we're saying, by when it comes shchia, then the blood will become possible. Now Rashi points out that, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that there's a machlokas on the subject and it depends on the circumstances, but usually you have things of korbanos usually become posel if they're left overnight. We learned earlier in the Masechta about the emurim, for example, that if they're left overnight, they become posel. However, if they were left on top of the mizbeach, then they don't become posel. The mizbeach prevents them from expiring, basically. So Rashi explains, let's say you were to leave the blood on top of the mizbeach overnight. Let's say you had some way of keeping it from, Rashi doesn't mention, but let's say you had some way of keeping it from congealing. Maybe you had somebody sitting there the whole night and stirring it. Maybe you had something else, whatever. Let's say you found some way of keeping the blood liquid. Nevertheless, that doesn't allow us to sprinkle it the next day because it became possible by Shkia Sachama apart from the whole point of living. That's Rashi. And different Achronim discuss details within what Rashi learns about that. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi about that, a couple of questions on Rashi about that, among other things. What about this whole sugya would be only according to the opinion that leaving things overnight on top of them as they are prevents them from becoming fossil. What about the opinion that says that they'll still be fossil? Then of course the blood is going to be fossil. It's anyway going to be fossil. You can't sprinkle it at night because you can't do avodas of korbanos by night. And alois hashachar, it's going to become fossil just like the emorim do. So Tosfos discusses first Tosfos tries to give an answer that maybe the point is you would think that I said the same way as we learned earlier in the Masechta that a person is not chayav for pigul if he eats the blood of the korban, or he's not chayav for noiser if he eats the blood of the korban. Maybe the same thing would be over here, but Tosfos says that doesn't really work. Then Tosfos gives a long explanation and a long discussion about, now like this, we know famously we have shkia and we have sefer kechavot. And we know famously we have Rabbeinu Tam's opinion of when Shkia takes place. We know very famously we have the whole idea of Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia, which is basically, so like this, we usually define Shkia as sunset, and after that begins Bein HaShemoshes, and Bein HaShemoshes lasts a certain amount of time, and as the sky is getting darker, and then eventually you have Tzeis Kechavim when three medium stars are visible, and then at that point it's nightfall. And time between Shkia and Seis is a suffix, which is why we have, for example, Shabbos begins at Shkia. Shabbos and Yom Tov begins at Shkia and ends at Seis. We know famously there's an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says that actually there are two types of Shkia itself. You have Shkia where the sun sets below the horizon, but then you still have, when the light of it is still visible in the sky, Tosfos counts that to Rabbeinu Tam elsewhere in Tosfos, and here and elsewhere in Shabbos and in other places, Tosfos discusses, and here Tosfos brings it in some detail, that during the time of twilight when there's still light from the sun in the sky, then it's still considered to be Shia. Basically, they explain there's a relevant Gemara in Shabbos that discusses that the time from Shia until Tseis, the Gemara brings up some different opinions over there, of which the largest opinion is the time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil, which would be 13.5 minutes, taking 18 minutes to the mil. On the other hand, you have a Gemara in Pesachim that says that it's to walk 4 mil between Shia and Seis. Again, at 18 minutes to the mil, 4 mil would be 72 minutes. So how do you reconcile them? So many of the Gaonim and Rishonim hold that it's just this machloikas between the Sugyas. But Rabbi Natam holds it's not a machloikas between the Sugyas. There are two different types of Shia. You have the beginning of Shia and you have the end of Shia. So they learn you have the beginning of Shia when the sun sets below the horizon. Then you have 58 and a half minutes after that, which is still part of Shia, according to Rabbi Natam. And then you have after that, Then you have another 13 and a half minutes, which is the 3/4 of a mil that it mentions in Shabbos, and then you have Tzeis HaKachavim, and then it's fully night. We know Adar Yom Hazeh, there are Kehillos, you go to Williamsburg, for example, and Borough Park, you'll find places where they keep Shabbos, where they keep the end of Shabbos, according to Rabbi Natam, so they end Shabbos and they daven Maariv much later than we do. Back in the old country, back in Europe, there were places where they started Shabbos, according to Rabbi Natam also, which would mean that they would still be doing melacha and they'd still be lighting candles when for the rest of us it's already Shabbos. I'm not aware of any kehillos nowadays that do that. Be that as it may, you have that famous machloikas. The Tosfos over here says that what it would mean is, here the Gemara is saying, even though usually you have that almost an hour after Shia, 58 and a half minutes after the first Shia, which is still considered fully day lahalacha, only after that begins Bein HaShemashes, nevertheless, when it comes to the blood over here, there's a specific din that at the first Shia, when the sun dips below the horizon, is when the blood becomes possible. It's still considered daytime for all other purposes in halacha, according to Rabbi Natan. Doesn't matter, by blood there's a specific thing. And then all of this is also negeya as far as the question how late you can daven mincha as well, because you have also, you can daven mincha, the Mishnah says in Brachas, you can daven mincha until Shia Sachama. So what does it mean? What does Shia Sachama mean? Does it mean what we usually think of as Shia? Does it mean what we're saying? Does it mean what Rabbi Natan defines as Shia, which would be much later? Does it actually mean Seis HaKachavim? So our Gemara is one of the major sources that comes into play as far as that discussion. So again, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi says that the blood becomes possible at Shkia Sachama. So again, according to Rashi, Shkia Sachama over here means Achroinim explained that Rashi's wording suggests that it means actually that even though the Gemara uses the word Shkia Sachama over here, it really means Tzeis HaKachavim. So according to Rashi, the blood would not actually be possible at Shia, it would be possible at Tzeis HaKachavim, and then even the point is, even though it was left on top of the Mizbeach, nevertheless it becomes possible and you can't sprinkle it the next day. According to Tosfos, it would mean that it actually becomes possible at what we think of as Shia, even though you still have almost an hour after that, which is considered daytime, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi says, how do we know that it becomes possible at Shkia Sachama? Shenema, because the pasuk says, the pasuk says, on the day that he offers his korban, it should be eaten. From which we learn, by yoim shata zeveach atamaki, on the day when you shech the korban, then you can offer the blood on the mizbeach. By yoim shata zeveach atamaki, but a day when you can't shech it anymore because it's already the next day, then you cannot offer the blood either. So in other words, the zrika, in other words, the shita and the zrika have to be on the same day, and therefore the shita and the zrika have to be on the same day, and therefore that's where we learn that the blood becomes fossil by shtia sachama, however we just define shtia sachama. However, the Gemara says, what do you mean, haini boiler legufe? What do you mean, you need this pasuk to legufe, just to tell you the din, that the context of the pasuk is talking about that the shlomim you can eat on the day that it was shechted and the next day, and the pasuk is needed to teach us that you can eat the shlomim l'shnei yamim v'layla esad, like you said in the Mishnah. So how can you also use it for a drosha about the blood becoming fossil? The answer is, in Cain, if that's all the pasuk wanted to tell us, name a krav, and the pasuk could have said, it could have said, on the day it was shechted, it should be eaten. Hakrivo Lomali. Why does it have to say on the day that it was offered, the expression of the pasuk, v'yom hakrivo yes zivchay, on the day that he offered his korban? Now, if it just meant on the day that the korban was shechted, zavach means to shecht it, then it could just say v'yom zivchay ya'achol. So instead it said v'yom hakrivo yes zivchay, hakrivo lomali. Why does it say hakrivo? Shmamina, they were teaching us also this din. It teaches us a simple meaning that a shlamim can be eaten only, that a shlamim can be eaten on the day it was brought and on the next day. But in addition, we also learn that only on the day when you shech the korban can you offer the blood, and not on the next day. Okay, the Gemara asks, the Dilma Hochi Omer Achmana, maybe what the pasuk means is differently. It means like this. Maybe the clock starts ticking for eating shlamim when the blood is sprinkled. If the blood is sprinkled on the day when the korban was shechted, then you have that day and the next day. But let's say the blood was offered on the Mizbeach. If it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, the next day, maybe it means then you could eat it the next day and the day after that. In other words, maybe what it means is, so if you shechted a shlomim on Sunday, and you sprinkled the blood on Sunday, then you have Sunday and Sunday night and Monday until Shkia to eat the korban. But let's say maybe the pasuk means, if you shechted the korban on Sunday, and you left over the blood overnight, let's say like Rashi says, you left it on top of the mizbeach, so it doesn't become fossil, and you sprinkled it Monday, then you would have Monday and Monday night and Tuesday day to eat the korban. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's what we're learning from the word b'yom hakrivo yetzivchay, on the day when he offered his korban, when he offered meaning that he brought the blood. So the Gemara says, no, im kein name a krub, b'yom hakrivo yachol. Then the other way around, it could have said b'yom hakrivo without the word zivchay, zivchay lomali. Why would I have to say the word zivchay? So it's both. It has to be hakrivo and zivchay. Shmamina, therefore we learn the din that we said, v'yom shatazaveach, atamakrivo, only on the day that you shechted the korban can you offer the blood, v'yom shiyatazaveach, atamakrivo, on the day when you can't shecht the korban, on the day when you didn't shecht the korban, you can't offer the blood, so that teaches us that the blood becomes possible by shia. Again, shia over here meaning seisach techavim, according to achroinim explaining Rashi, or shia meaning actual shia, according to Tosfos. Okay. Another discussion related to this. We're saying that a shlomim can be eaten only for 2 days and the night between them. Now there is a din though that there is a din though that we're going to discuss further on that when it, now the Torah tells us when you have leftover meat from a korban you have to burn it. So now the Gemara is going to explain based on Pesukim that you can only burn it by day. So that means, so take, for example, with the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is eaten by night. If you're left over from it, you can't burn it that night. You have to burn it the next day. Strictly speaking, actually, with the Pesach, since the first day is Yom Tov, so you want to elsewhere learn that you can't burn Kodshim that became fossil on Yom Tov, so therefore they have to leave it for the first day of Chol HaMoed. But they have to burn it by day. But the general rule is always going to be, when you burn meat of a korban that became fossil, whether it became pig or fossil or whatever, you have to burn it after by day. So now, what happens? So let's discuss as follows. Itmar, we have a discussion as follows. Hamachashiv la'or shlishi. Suppose, first of all, a person is thinking, we learned earlier extensively in the Masechta all about the dinim of pigul, where we said pigul is where he has a thought of chutzlizmano. He plans to eat or burn parts or of the korban or sprinkle the blood of the korban beyond the time that he's supposed to. So then the korban becomes, and then we said, as long as certain other conditions are met, then the korban becomes pigul. So now, hamachashiv la'or shlishi. Suppose when he shechts the shlomin, he has in mind to eat it on the night going into the third day. So in other words, like this, he shechted in the korban on Sunday. He has Sunday and Sunday night and Monday until Shkia to eat the korban. What if he has in mind that he plans to eat from the korban Monday night after Shkia? So what happens is that considered pigul. Chizkiyah omach kosher. Chizkiyah says the korban will be kosher. That's not considered chutzas manoi. Rabbi Yechanan omach apostle. Rabbi Yechanan says that will be considered chutzas manoi and the korban will be pigul. So,
In fact, it's interesting that Rabbi Yochanan uses the expression "posel." According to him, it's full-fledged piggle. So the point is that one of the Mephoshim, the Sivas HaKodesh, explains that Rabbi Yochanan uses the word "posel." The Gemara rather uses the word "posel" to explain Chizkiah's opinion that when Chizkiah says kosher, he means really kosher. If Rabbi Yochanan, if we reported Rabbi Yochanan as saying piggle, then maybe we would understand Rabbi Chizkiah to be saying it's not piggle, but it's still posel for some other reason. Note by saying apostle by Rabbi Yochanan, then it's clear that Chizkiah means actually kosher, that it's completely kosher, it's not considered piggle or any kind of psul at all. Chizkiah omar kosher. Chizkiah says, you know why it's kosher? To hold it into the sveifa. Because after all, it hasn't been completely pulled away from its original din to be burnt. Because again, it can be burnt only by day on the third day. In our scenario, the korban was shechted on Sunday. You have till Monday shkia to eat it. But then when are you going to burn it if you left anything over? Tuesday morning. So Chizkiah says, in that case, if you had in mind to eat it Monday night, then you haven't gotten to a point where it has to be burnt yet, and therefore you can't say that it's considered fully chutz l'zman. Yes, you're not allowed to eat it past that time, but it can't really be considered chutz l'zman because of that. And until its status changes and it becomes full fledged noiser and has to be burnt, then Chizkiah says that wouldn't be enough to make it tikkun. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm apostle. Rabbi Yochanan says apostle, because after all, at this point, it's been pushed off from eating, because now you can't eat it anymore. Once it comes Shkia of the second day of Monday, in our example, then you can't eat it anymore. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan says that's reason enough for that to be considered. And therefore, for him to be Chayav Kodesh for eating it as pickles. So basically that's the question. When it's in that in-between state, is it considered mechusar zman, and therefore, is it considered mechusar zman or not, so Chizkiah holds considered mechusar zman, it's still lacking the time that comes to be burnt, and therefore it can't be considered piggle if he had that time in mind, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says it's not mechusar zman because it's already past the time for eating it. A similar machloikas of theirs, ha'oichol la'or shlishi, what if a person actually eats it? Here we were just talking about where he has in mind to eat it on Monday night. What about if he actually eats it on that third night, on Monday night? B'shoyim, Chizkiah amar poter, Chizkiah says he will be poter from bringing a chatas for it. And for the same reason, the intik was safer because it hasn't been pulled away from its original status as far as being burnt. Because again, it's only meant to be burnt the following morning, so it can't really be considered full-fledged noiser, and therefore he's not chayav a korban for eating it. He'll be also to eat it, Chizkiah agrees, but he won't be chayav kodes or korban for it. Rabbi Yochanan said he'll be chayav, don't eat chilei me'achila, because again, it's been pushed off from being eaten. So in other words, again, once it can't be eaten anymore, then Rabbi Yochanan says that's reason enough for it to be considered a different status, and therefore that he'll be chayav. There is an explanation. Rashi explains specifically that when Chizkiah says potter, it means potter from a korban, so there's actually an explanation that if he ate the mazit, he would be chayav malchus. So he would actually be over on a low and Chayav Malchus. However, then the Rambam may not agree with that. The Rambam would say that he's not over on a lav at that point. He's over on an eser, because the Torah tells us eat it during the 2 days and the night in between, and therefore he's over on that eser and the implicit low seser from it. But a person doesn't get Malchus for such things.
So
you have the same machloikas. The Chalik Nosan points out, it seems to be the same machloikas repeated. Why bother having two machloikas in? And he explains as an example, the Gemara sometimes calls, there was one machloikas, and we deduce from it that they would argue a similar machloikas in the other case. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei Rabbi Yochanan, we learn a braisa like the way Rabbi Yochanan says it, Kodshim that can be eaten for 1 day, which is, so far we've said in our parak, Chatos, the Osham, the zivche shamet zibur, the osham, the toida, and the el nazir, all of those can be eaten for 1 day. So what does it mean 1 day? Mechashmin, that mechashmin daman mishatishka chama, a thought regarding the blood would be effective and make the korban piggle, if he has in mind any time after Shkia, because that's already chutz l'zmanoi as far as the sprinkling, because again, he can't sprinkle the meat, he can't sprinkle the blood of a korban by night. over Sodom and as far as their meat, over Emorehan, and also as far as the Emorim, however, when it comes to their meat and the Emorim, Mishiyala, Omana Shachar, then it would apply only when Alois HaShachar comes. So in other words, again, because the korban can be eaten for a day and a night, in our scenario before, the korban is brought on Sunday, and when it comes to a chatas or an ashram or the rest of them, you can eat them Sunday day and Sunday night, and technically, in Torah, you'd be able to eat them all night, but midrabanan only until chatzos. Then therefore, so now, if he has a thought to eat them, if he has a thought that he's going to eat them on Sunday night, that's not a problem. The korban is still kosher, only if he had a thought to eat them on Monday morning after Alois HaShachar, then it would be kibul. And when it comes to the blood, though, if he has in mind to sprinkle it after Shkia, then it would be possible, because after Shkia, the blood becomes possible, like we said before, and you can't sprinkle it anymore. And then the Brisa continues, Kodshim and Apollon, the Shnei Yom, the Laila Achas, when you have Kodshim that can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between, like Shlomim, and the ones that we're going to mention in the next mission, of Mechor and Meiser. So then, Mechashim and Domon, Meshetishka Hama, there a thought of Chutzah's Mana would apply insofar as the blood from Shia, because again, like we said before, Shia, by all Korbanos, the blood will become fossil. Over Emurei and Meshiyala Omana Shachar. When it comes to the Emurim, a thought of Chutzah's Mana will only be if he has in mind to brun them on the Mizbeach the next day after Alois HaShachar. Because again, they have to be brunt on the day the Korban was brought. Unless we said, and Rashi points out that after all, when it comes to the blood of the Emurim, doesn't matter Kodshe Kodshim or Kodshim Kalim, the blood and the Emurim always are considered Kodshe Kodshim, and they all have the same deadlines. On the other hand, with the Soran, when it comes to the meat, then it would only be Meshetish Kachama Shal Shnei Yomim, only after the sun sets on the second day, if he had the thought in advance, that he's going to eat the meat of it on Monday night, in our example, then it would be considered pickle. So we see clearly this is the Brisa. Clearly says that if he has in mind to eat it on the third night, on Monday night, in our example, then that would in fact make it pickle and he would be chayav chatos. So not less of the Brisa. Clearly says not like Chizkiya. So that's that then. So we see that the Braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan's point that if he had in mind by the shechting of the korban or by any of the avodas of the korban that he's going to eat the meat on the third night, then already the korban becomes pickle, not machlisya, and therefore also that would follow from that. The second machlokas that if he actually ate it b'shogeg on that night, then he would actually be chayav. Then he would be chayav a korban for that. Let's talk further about the deadline for the shlomim. We said the shlomim are eaten, we said in our mission of the shnei yomim v'layla echad, for 2 days and the night in between. So let's work that out, how we know that. Tana rabbanan, yochu yunecholan afla ur shlishi. You would think that maybe the shlomim can actually be eaten on the night going into the third day. Meaning, in other words, maybe it is actually allowed to eat them on Monday night, in our example. The din hu, and you would try to learn it in a logical way. Svachim necholim liyamechot. You have korbanos that are eaten for 1 day and the following night, like all the ones that we listed, many of the ones that we listed in the perek so far. Uzvachim necholim l'shnei yom. Uzvachim necholim l'shnei yom. And you have korbanos such as the shlomim that are eaten for 2 days. You could argue you make a comparison. Ma zvachim necholim liyamechot laila afarein. Just like the ones that are eaten for 1 day. Then the night follows that, because by Kodshim we say Halayla Herlach Achra Yom, unlike most other areas in Halacha, where we say Hayom Herlach Achra Halayla, the day follows the night, which is why Shabbos and Yom Tov, for example, begin the night before. With Kodshim, as we learned before, it's not like that. The night follows the day. And we talked about reasons of the chassidus, why that is. One idea being that the idea of korbanos is to bring the light of the korbanos and the light of avodah into the darkness of the womb. Anyway, so you could argue, just like the ones that are eaten for 1 day, Laila Aparein, the following night you can also eat it. You could argue the ones that are eaten for 2 days, you also have a night afterwards. So therefore, so in the case of a Torah, you bring it on Sunday, you have Sunday and Sunday night, and in the case of a Shlomim, you can have Sunday day, Sunday night, Monday day, Monday night. No, Tamavloim of Anusar Adyoim. No, therefore the Pasuk says, what is left until the day. Now, in other words, the point is, the Pasuk mentions the word, the day. And it's talking about, Rashi explains that this is talking about in connection with the eating of the korban. You have the yom zivchachem ya'ochel and mimachos that can be eaten on the day you bring the korban and the next day, v'anoser ad yom, but what's left over until the day. So that means, in other words, it implies while it's still daytime. But it can only be eaten while it's still daytime. The in a nechal or shlishi, it cannot be eaten on the night going into the third day. So vanosu ad yoim, in other words, we're meant to take that word ad yoim separately from the word after it and darshin it that it means only what's left over still by day you can eat, but not what's left over after that. Tosfos actually asks that you still have the word vanosu in there, so that breaks it up. So it would mean ad yoim ashlishi, it would mean up till the third day, meaning not including the third day, and therefore that also includes not the third night. He was also, by the way, we talked about yesterday, the Shittim HaKubetzis brings from Rabbeinu Peretz that even by a Shlomim, L'chatchila, you should be eating it on the first day. Because we see already the Torah is calling the meat on the second day, is calling it Noiser. It's not Noiser as far as the dinim of not being able to eat it, but it's called Noiser in the sense it was like the second best option. You should have eaten it all the day before. We talked about yesterday that not all Rishonim agree with that. So that's where we learn that it can't be eaten on the night going into the third day. Incidentally, by the way, the Gemara brings this in. The Gemara brings this at the beginning of Psachim. You have the whole discussion over there when it says Ur La'Avo Oser. You have to check for chametz, and the Gemara has a whole discussion over there what Ur means. Does it mean the night or does it mean the day? And you have an explanation of the Ravid that says that even though the Gemara ends up saying over there that Ur La'Avo Oser means the night before the 14th, it means there should still be some light in the sky. So you should do it at the beginning of the night, because chametz, before it gets completely dark. So according to that, then, it may mean the same thing over here. By the Shlomim, it would actually mean that you have to stop shortly before the light disappears completely. Fine. So that's where we learn that you can't eat it even on the night going into the third day. Now, continues the Braisa, Yocho Yisorif Miyad, you would think that then you would burn the meat of the korban right away. If you can't eat it anymore, then you should burn it right away. The Dinhu, and again, you would think logically that you should, for the same reason we said before, Zvachim Nachol Niyamelot, or Zvachim Nachol Mishne Yamim, you have korbanos eaten for one day and korbanos eaten for 2 days. Ma Zvachim Nachol Niyamelot, take a flask of a sefer, the ones that are eaten for one day and one night, right after the deadline is over for eating them, then you burn them. A Toya, for example, you bring it on Sunday, you eat it Sunday day and Sunday night, and Minatori you could eat it until Alois HaShachar, and then right after Alois HaShachar, right at Alois HaShachar, it becomes Noiser, and right after that you can burn it. Only Midirabonim is it till Chatzos that you can eat it. So you could argue the same thing. So you could argue ones that are eaten for 2 days should have the same basic rule. You should say the moment the deadline is over, as soon as it becomes Shia and you can't, or as soon as it becomes Shia and you can't eat it anymore, then right away you should burn it on the spot. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, by Yom HaShlishi, by Ish Yisorif, on the third day it should be burnt in fire, from which we learn, by Yom HaTasurfer, the Atasurfer Balayla. You have to burn it only by day. You cannot burn it only by day, you cannot burn it by night. So with the korbanos that can be eaten for one day, then for one day and a night, then you have as follows. You have the day, you have the following night, and right after that is the time for burning it. When it comes to a shlomim and the other korbanos that can be eaten for 2 days, you can eat them for the day, on the day they were brought, the following night, the following day till Shia, then you have to leave anything left over, has to be left over overnight, and you burn it only on the morning of the third day. In fact, the Rambam goes further and says that when Paskins, that any time you're burning Kodshim, even let's say you didn't get around to burning it on the third day, you still can't burn it on the fourth night. You would always, whenever you're burning it, no matter how many days later it is, it's always going to have to be by day. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll learn the last Mishnah of the Perek, about the last of the Kodshim and the Jinnim of them.